I'm Marty Moscowen. Welcome to Radio Times. Philadelphia City Councilman Bobby Heenan, who is unopposed in the May 19th primary, wants you to vote and have a chance to win some awesome prizes. He's posted a video to make his pitch.
Hi, my name is Councilman Bobby Heenan. Tuesday, May 19th is election day. And this year, we're going to make things a little more interesting.
I am Chef Jose Garza. Might personally cook you dinner.
That's not what I said.
And Rendell might take you to the gym.
Hold on, I've got some whack job here in the office.
Mayor Nutter might just drive you to the polls. No, I didn't agree to that. What are you talking about?
Seriously, post a video 15 seconds or less, and then just do one last thing. Vote.
So you can go to hashtag IVotePhilly to post your 15-second video about why you're going to vote next week. We asked Bobby Heenan to join us on Radio Times to tell us how this contest is going and why Philadelphians need prizes to get them to the polls. And Bobby Heenan, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
So why do Philadelphians need prizes to get them to the polls?
Because turnout in Philadelphia is awful. And we have the opportunity to weigh in on important issues by encouraging something that's a little different, a little outside the box, something fun, something feisty to encourage people to come out to vote May 19th, which is next Tuesday. And I want to make it fun.
Well, it's funny in that little video. I'm not sure if our listeners heard it, but Ed Rendell called you a whack job. Did you write that or was that spontaneous?
I think, Governor Rendell is a spontaneous individual.
So he gets credit for the line?
He gets credit for the line, and he's full of fun. And I just want to add for the record that those prizes, these are real prizes.
Well,
Ed Rendell will take you to the gym.
And Jose Garces will cook you a meal?
Jose Garces will have two separate events that a contest winner will be selected to join him in meals that he's going to cook, yes.
And will Mayor Nutter drive someone to the polls?
Enthusiastically, Mayor Nutter will pick you up and drive you to the poll and take you home.
Any other prizes waiting in the wings?
There are other prizes waiting in the wings. In stay overnight, stay here in the city of Philadelphia with a dinner accompanied by Visit Philadelphia, Phillies tickets, Sixers tickets, orchestra tickets, theater tickets, gift certificates. So there is a lot of fun for the contest winners.
And is it through a lottery? Is that how someone wins? Or do you decide what this is the best video of the contribution?
So if you post your video at hashtag Vote Philly, there will be judged on weighing in on retweets on your postings and likes on social media, and then there will be a judge. If you qualify, for that amount of retweets, everything like that, Billy Penn will be the judge of the finals.
Well, of course. And how's the contest going? Have you gotten the kind of response you had hoped for?
We have had overwhelmingly a great and enthusiastic response from people. The submissions for the videos have been a little slower than we have liked. So, we're asking Philadelphians to please, please post their videos 15 seconds or less and post it at hashtag IVotePhilly. All right, enter the contest. The prizes are real. The prizes are fun. I think we need to increase voter turnout. It has been on a decline over the last several years, and that's a little disheartening.
We looked 4 years ago when there was a mayoral primary, and the turnout was something like 20%. I mean, I find that so depressing, but you're finishing up your first term here. You were unopposed, which is interesting, but 20% turnout?
We can do better. We could do better.
What does that tell you?
Well, it tells you maybe that the general electorate is a little bit disengaged and possibly a little lack of confidence. But we have great, great, great people running in the city of Philadelphia for offices in our great democracy here, and I encourage people. All right, this is something that we shouldn't get involved with. Come out to vote, and this is something fun. Participate in the contest.
Well, let me give out the phone number here because I'm interested to find out whether, especially people living in Philadelphia, we've spent a lot of time talking about the mayor's race and here at HYY also talking about city council races. We want to know if you're going to vote. If you're not going to vote, give us a call at 1-888-477-9499. You can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. And you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times and tell us whether whether you're going to vote. You can also post a 15-second video at this site that Councilman Bobby Heenan has set up, a hashtag IVotePhilly or IVotePhilly.com, and perhaps you can win one of these awesome prizes. But we do want to hear from you. But do you think when you have 20% of people that are registered to vote who go to the polls to vote, are they telling you something about what they think about city government?
I don't know if they're actually telling us about what they think about city government. All right? But I think it's a let's take the approach of there's a different market out there. And social media is a way that people do, you know, engage in their civic social clubs and issues that are important to them. So it's a different way to try to reach them in 2015. So we're using that. We're using it in a different way to encourage people to participate in the contest. And more importantly, you know, we could do things that are fun. This video, mm-hmm. I'm extremely proud of. It's awesome. All right. But there needs to be a product at the end of the day, and that is increased turnout on Tuesday. So we can like things, we need to do things, and that's to come out to vote on Tuesday, May 19th.
What do you hope? I mean, if it was 20% 4 years ago, would you like 30%?
I mean,
obviously you'd like 100%, but not sure it's going to happen that way.
It will not happen that way. Look, vote your issues. Come out to vote Tuesday. I would like to see upwards to 30%.
To 30%. That would be success from your perspective?
That would be a tremendous amount of success. Not sure if we're going to get that, but anything in upwards of 25% to 30% would be a success.
Was this your idea?
It is my idea.
I mean, something you could, with the video and all
it is.
Of that.
You know, and I have a great team that's around me, surrounded in my office, and we sat around and we're like, how can we do something a little different? How can we reach the general public in a fun and creative way? And the team that we have assembled to put this together has been I can't compliment them enough in the way that we can communicate with people.
You know, as we all know, there have been so many forums this spring, or I guess winter into spring, for the mayoral candidates, six Democrats. That's one Republican running. I think, 60, 70 forums, something like that. I mean, in many ways, there have been so many ways to engage with the candidates and engage very directly.
It is. The city has had a look at the mayoral candidates for sort of several months now, and they should be decided on what direction that they're going to go to or, you know, head to the polls on. You know, it's important to get to the polls. I mean, the mayor's race is a primary focus, right? But it's a very crowded ballot. All right, there are other races that are
sure.
that are important, from the Supreme Court race. I think people fail to realize that they touch our lives every single day. The mayor's race, city council, I mean, people that we trust to do the right job. The mayor, the current mayor, Mayor Nutter, all right, led us in this unfortunate derailment the other day. All right, and the city of Philadelphia voted him to be mayor. All right, and he took lead and he did an outstanding job. We need to do what we're supposed to do, and that's engage in democracy, come out to vote, and elect people that we can count on when we need them.
I do want to get some callers on, but first a comment from Roger in Philadelphia. He says, in his opinion, a voter turnout means people would rather have none of the above. Ouch.
Well, that is his opinion. You know, I beg to differ. I think there are great people who are participating in seeking office to do things that are important in every neighborhood of the city of Philadelphia, and to weigh in on real big issues such as having the respect of going to work every day and not worry about whether you're going to have a job if you get sick or not. Income disparity, property tax protection, and efficiencies in our tax collections, all are by people that we elect into offices and that we have the trust to make those decisions on our behalf.
We have also an email from Rob says, can you or your guest tell me how to check and make sure that I'm registered in my district and I'm eligible to vote? And he goes on from there, the fact that he's moved around. I think for some people, it's just sort of the mechanics of voting. They don't exactly know how it works.
It is. And they can certainly call the city commissioner's office or call my office at 215-686-3444, and we will connect you and see where you are registered to vote and where your polling place is.
We also have, looks like, Doug from Westchester. And Doug, just to make sure you know, we are talking about Philadelphia, but you're calling us from Westchester. Go ahead, you're on Radio Times.
Hello.
Hi there.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, Doug.
Yes. Things over the last few decades, have gotten so polarized, and part of that has to do with all the gerrymandering. And I think that people feel like it's kind of a farce. It doesn't really matter what you vote, who you vote for, because all of the decisions really are made already. So that's
Yeah, and we're losing you. I'm sorry to say, but Doug, I think we got your point. And to you, Bobby Heenan, I mean, I don't have to tell you that people are very cynical about politics and politicians.
And the system. I can't blame them. And in this election, you have three Supreme Court, state Supreme Court positions that are available. We have people from the city of Philadelphia. You have somebody from the city of Philadelphia who was there. The integrity of the offices like the Supreme Court and to eliminate the gerrymandering needs to stop. And I think that's why voter turnout is important, to come out and vote for people who are going to be in a position to stop those type of past practices and gerrymandering. City of Philadelphia, we did a great job with redistricting 4 years ago, and the districts are much more together. And
they don't look so much like a salamander?
They absolutely do not. They're much more compact. Neighborhoods are more intact. And I think we did a responsible thing with the state legislator in doing so. Supreme Court, very important to help stop some of the gerrymandering in the state of Pennsylvania.
You are unopposed. And this is, this is a Democratic town. Mostly Democrats win, especially for some of these larger races. How much do you think that actually depresses a vote, where they feel like there isn't a real contest here?
Well, you've seen over the years the pendulum swing from party rule. It was Republican at one time, and now it's Democratic at one time. I think regardless of the majority party, the conversation is what needs to take place, and the conversation publicly is necessary in making sure that we elect the candidate that suits your issues and the integrity of the person that we elect.
About a minute before we have to say goodbye here, it'll be interesting to see how many people actually go and vote and compare that to how many millions of dollars are being spent just on the mayor's race here in Philadelphia.
Yes. And I think that, we recognize that here in the city of Philadelphia. There's an ethics board that monitors and enforce campaign finance limits and controls over certain types of spending when it comes to reelection. Independent expenditures, went to this U.S. Supreme Court with Citizens United, and that's a battle that is going to continue. And, having the faith in the people that we have control over around here as far as our one vote, one person that counts, I think is extremely important so we can stay on top of those issues.
Well, Bobby Heenan, thank you for joining us in this portion of Radio Times.
It's my pleasure. Thank you, Marty, and thank you, Radio Times.
Absolutely. Philadelphia City Councilman Bobby Heenan, and again, he's got this contest going, and you can send a 15-second video to hashtag IVotePhilly, and perhaps you can exercise with Ed Randell. Imagine that. We're going to take a very short break, and then we have other guests will be joining us on Radio Times talking about the media coverage of the races here in Philadelphia. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Marty Moscowen. Welcome back to Radio Times. Jim Saxa wrote a piece in Philadelphia Magazine recently calling out his fellow journalists for complaining that the mayor's race in Philadelphia is dull, is boring. He said, "We all need to stop it right now because it may depress voter turnout. The primary is next Tuesday, May 19th. And we asked Jim Saxa to join us here in our Philadelphia studio. He's a reporter for Plan Philly, which is now housed here at WHYY. Jim, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thanks for having me, Marty.
And one of the journalists that he named is our guest, John Baer, political columnist for the Philadelphia Daily News. He wrote recently that the mayor's race could use some spicing up. And John Baer, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Good morning, Marty. Good morning, Jim.
Nice to have you all here. So are you saying, Jim, it's all the media's fault?
No, I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that the media does play a role. And at least in the margins, if we don't constantly call the race boring, I think people will pay attention a little bit more. When you say, hey, this is boring, why would I go watch and pay attention?
But do you think it's the journalists who have been maybe covering 70 of these forums are saying, I'm bored, even if the person in the audience maybe has – this is the first time they've seen the candidates.
Yeah, and I don't blame the people who have to go to every forum. I mean, I've gone to a half dozen, and towards the end, I stopped paying attention myself. It's understandable, but we should just be looking to try to hold that back.
But do you think that it – do you think it's just that the media shouldn't say – let me put it this way. Is it that the race is boring but the media shouldn't talk about it, or the race is actually not boring and the media should focus on that?
I think when the media says this race is boring, they're answering a question that doesn't need to be answered. You know, I think some of the candidates are pretty ugly, but I don't write about that.
And so that's kind of your message to your fellow.
Yeah,
journalists.
I mean, when we're writing, we have to decide what's important, and what's important isn't, you know, whether or not you as a journalist find this race boring or interesting. It's the issues. It's, you know, who should I vote for? Why should I care? And again, when you say this is dull, you're saying please do not pay attention to this. Stop reading right now.
Well, John, let me get you in on the conversation because you wrote a piece. It was headlined Spicing Up the Mayor's Race. Is this mayor's race any different, either boring or not boring, compared to other races?
Well, yeah, I think this race is a little different, Marty. And I mean, generally, I think you know my off-stated position about what journalists should do, and that is to try to get readers and viewers as close to the truth as possible. God knows what the actual truth is, but our job is to try to get there. And sometimes the truth hurts. This race has some specific reasons why there is a low interest rate and will be a low turnout rate. And one of them is the current mayor. I mean, there just is not sort of a fireball issue that people can coalesce around and get all excited about, because generally speaking, Mayor Nutter's done a pretty good job, and I think his polling numbers reflect that. The second thing is, in a city with such profound levels of poverty, deep poverty, and a poverty rate hovering around 27%, the largest poverty rate of any of the biggest 10 American cities, there's a despondency factor. You have people who have lived their lives decade after decade seeing the same problems that never change, no matter who's the mayor. And so they're just not going to be excited about any mayor's race. And in this case, it was the candidates themselves. You had the leading candidate was not going to get in the race until somebody else got out. The second candidate, Tony Williams, ran a horrible campaign. And so there really wasn't a lot of energy or enthusiasm. And Jim Kenney's campaign was terrific, but it was very safe.
Mm.
There was all of these forums combined. And Sam Katz pointed this out to me, his comments were in a column I wrote for yesterday's newspaper, that the process itself hurt the candidates. You just cannot, in a 45-second soundbite, no matter how many forums you attend, lay out your vision for the city and your plans to get there. So they were restricted not only by the financial situation, the limits on campaign money you can raise, but by the process itself. And so the voters really never had a chance. But, and I'll say this to you and to Jim and
sure,
your listeners, this race, I think, was better covered by the media, and particularly the next mayor. Anybody who hasn't read The Next Mayor should just Google it and go to it. I mean, just really terrific coverage day in, day out, particularly by Tom Farrick. And not only on, hey, it's dull, this guy's run a bad campaign, but really specifics from the beginning of the year right through today. Just excellent coverage by that whole project.
Well, and I'll give a shout out. I mean, a lot of coverage here at WHYY as well. So it's an interesting kind of disconnect, going back to you, Jim, which is a lot of coverage on the race and attempt to get into some of these deep issues. And as John said, schools, poverty, it doesn't get more important than that. But he also talked about the fact that while there were all these forums, people are kind of in straitjackets. You can't really get a conversation going. Maybe a more interesting conversation going.
Yeah. I don't disagree with John on pretty much anything. My point was a very narrow one, and that is, this one specific thing, don't call it boring.
Right. And there were some headlines saying ho-hum, yawn,
that kind
of thing.
But I agree, like a dozen forums means you're speaking to one specific audience and you're speaking sound bites. I think what's really interesting is education is by far and away the number one issue. And speaking of the next mayor, they did a poll, independent poll, and it showed – it just confirmed that.
Sure.
What doesn't – but education is an issue that the mayor has a lot of control over. When you're talking about education, you're talking about Harrisburg and funding. You're talking about the governor who selects people for the SRC – that control the SRC.
Yep.
You know, it's an issue that they can't offer something direct on, and so they can't even address it, you know, to the voters.
So while it matters deeply to the voters, there's a limit on what a mayor, whoever that is, can do about it.
Exactly. And so why should you, you know, really focus on that, paying attention on it?
John, let me go back to you. And you raised something that I've always struggled with and have a problem with, which is just the way that forums are. There's, you know, 90 seconds to answer and a 30-second rebuttal time. And you do feel as if the candidates, and I frankly think a lot of the journalists who have to do this stuff, feel that they are in a straitjacket, that you really cannot get beyond those sound bites that become so familiar during a campaign. How would you, if you could, how would you shake that up?
Well, I mean, this race was particularly handicapped by the number of candidates, and particularly the number of candidates who never had a chance at all from the beginning. It is much easier to get a true picture of a campaign and a candidate if you have two, maybe three, and you have open discussions rather than narrowly defined Q&As. Just get people up on the stage or in front of cameras who actually know what they're talking about and have a discussion with the candidates. And then we'll see, because you cannot practice for that. I mean, for all of these forums, many of them sponsored by special interest, you just knew what the questions were going to be. So you pick out a 30-second response to that, and you give that response no matter what the question is. But in an open discussion, you don't know what's coming, and people really would get a sense of you. Tough to do, and I understand that, but very, very valuable.
Yeah. I mean, Jim, I mean, if do you like that idea? As impossible as it might be?
It would be difficult, but I think it's a good one. At one of the forums, the mobility forum, Doug Oliver actually said, well, you guys gave us the answer to this question. And they did. They, you know, they handed them a platform, and here's what we think of. And you got those platitudes sort of, you know, handed back. And that doesn't make for, you know, terribly interesting, reporting. But what was interesting there, at the very least, was that the forum was successful in getting all the candidates to support ideas like Vision Zero and improved bike infrastructure that they hadn't before. So you can make it a debate there. But yeah,
let me just reintroduce the two of you. That's Jim Saxa. He's a reporter for Plan Philly, and Plan Philly is now housed at WHYY. He recently wrote a piece for Philadelphia Magazine titled, "Dear Philadelphia Media, Stop Calling the Mayoral Race Boring." And we've been talking a lot in this town about the Philadelphia mayor's race. Our guest, John Baer, is a political columnist for the Philadelphia Daily News. His blog, Baer Growls, can be found at philly.com. And he is, frankly, one of the journalists that Jim called out in his article. And we're hearing from both of them, and we want to hear from you about especially the mayor's race. And we are focusing really in this portion of Radio Times about what's been happening here in Philadelphia, council races as well. Has it been boring? Give us a call at 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. We have a Facebook comment from Pat. She says, "I'm with Saxa. It's not boring, and with Milton Street, it certainly is entertaining, but the options are underwhelming." I mean, how did you see Milton Street? And I'll ask you that as well, John Baer.
I mean, look, every big race at some point has an entertainer, and that's what Milton Street was, what he has been, what he will be. Whether or not that contributes to voter interest, I very much doubt so.
Mm. I mean, he did when he would say some of those things. He got some attention for that, Jim.
Yeah, I think I'd agree. It'd be nice if there is some position where we can just have him around to make us laugh and at politicians, but
beyond that,
he wasn't contributing much to the actual debate and discussion, I don't think.
We have a tweet from Walt. He says, "This election is about issues, not personalities, and actual issues bore the media. They want reality show style conflict." You agree, Jim?
I hate reality TV, so I wouldn't want that. I mean, I write for Plan Philly. We're releasing pretty soon our issue platform voter guide. All of our interviews were very with all of the six. All the candidates. We also did Melissa Murray Bailey, the Republican candidate. All of them were focused entirely on the issues. So I would disagree entirely.
Yeah, but John, I mean, there seems to be a kind of, if not a public interest in conflict, broadly speaking. There are a lot of shows where that's the highlight of the show is finding two people who will argue with each other.
Yeah, see, Marty, well, now you're getting into the whole world of how far journalism has sunk in this country.
I know. Sorry.
But look, I mean, I think that there are a lot of us who still practice it that do push for specifics. When Jim Kenney says his primary goal as mayor will be to move the needle on poverty, then the next question is how exactly are you going to do that? What have you done about that thus far? And sure, that gets buried well into the newspaper or not at all on the broadcast, because journalism in so many ways has sort of abdicated its responsibility to put forth the issues and what candidates say about it. Yeah, Milton Street gets attention, and Jim Kenney's answers on those questions do not.
Yeah, interesting. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I think the reality TV comment, though, raises a larger point, and that is media, especially local media, is competing for time with the readers and the viewers with a huge array of other sources. I mean, in addition to the websites, other news sources and cable news, it's not just that. We're competing for viewer time, downtime after work against reality TV, against Game of Thrones, and we're going to lose very often. You know, it's a matter of like how do you spend your free time? And a lot of people, for whatever reason, either they don't care or they don't think it matters, they're going to spend their time on stuff that, you know, is entertaining. So maybe there is a debate there. I don't know the answer.
John, I was talking with Bobby Heenan, and we've talked about this before on Radio Times, the fact that this is kind of a one-party town. It used to be a one-party Republican town. Now it's one-party Democratic town. Do you think that makes things more boring because there aren't two parties duking it out?
Well, sure. I mean, look, there's nothing better for democracy than a competitive political system, and Philadelphia hasn't had that in a long, long time. I think it's just It is so telling that Councilman Heenan is offering prizes to get people to vote. But the other point, Marty, is we as of the many things that are wrong in Philadelphia and Pennsylvania, we cannot forget to lay some blame where it rightfully belongs, and that's with the state legislature. We have one of the least progressive voting states in America. It is harder to vote in Pennsylvania than in many, many, many other states. We have no online registration. We have no early voting. We have no excuse absentee voting. We have no open primary. I mean, you have to make a much more of an effort to vote in Pennsylvania. So the legislature bears some of this responsibility. But the one-party thing definitely is a deterrent to get people out, particularly in general elections.
Do you think, though, Jim, that, you know, if journalists, reporters call this race boring, that actually keeps people away from the polls? Because when you look at these declining numbers, and 4 years ago the turnout was something like 20%, you know, maybe the media bears some responsibility, but it seems it's larger than that.
Yeah, and I totally agree. What I was trying to make in the point of my article is that this is happening at the margins. When you look at electoral interest in local races over time in large cities, there's this huge drop-off starting in the mid-90s. And I think the real issue there is, again, that broader point. People aren't paying attention because they're being distracted by other things. We're looking at national media. My friends follow the news. And if you look at national voting, 2012 voting percentage was about the same as it was in 48. You know, it's stayed even. It's only in the local stuff that you're getting slaughtered in terms of voter turnout.
Let me squeeze one caller in. This is Tony actually calling us from North Carolina. Tony, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hey, Marty, and hello, guests. I was a longtime Philadelphia resident. I still listen to WHYY religiously online.
Good for you.
I just wanted a couple of comments. First, to the thesis question of the show today, is the Philadelphia mayor's race boring? Yes, otherwise you wouldn't have to ask the question. Number two, in terms of the reasons for low voter turnout, it's voter disenfranchisement. It has nothing to do with the decentralization of media. I worked in media for 30 years. I'm an award-winning journalist. If you're reporting what needs to be reported, people are going to pay attention. I don't care if it's Game of Thrones or what you're competing with. So it's the lack of pithy reporting, and I'm not laying blame at the feet of your guests or anything of the kind. But I just think at some point, people begin to feel disenfranchised if they're not seeing what they think is the kernel of the issues.
Well,
and I'll take my responses off the air.
Tony, thanks for the call. Thanks for listening to WHYY down there in North Carolina. John, we're almost out of time here, but do you think he's got a point there?
He does have a point. I mean, I've written before, Marty, that we're very close to becoming an ungovernable nation, state, and city. And you can see the reflection of voters towards that. In 2014, voter turnout nationally was the lowest in 72 years. It just keeps declining because people have either given up, don't care, or don't think that government can make any difference in their lives or anybody else's.
And 74 years, I think, takes us back to the middle of World War II, right, John?
Yeah.
When many people were not around to vote because
right.
They were fighting the Nazis. Well, you know, I hate to end on that note, but we are out of time. My thanks to both of you for joining us today in Radio Times. John Baer, always thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Marty. Please tell Tom Mann I said hey.
Oh, and he's waiting in the wings. John Baer, political columnist for the Philadelphia Daily News. His blog, Baer Growls, can be found at philly.com. Jim Saxa, thank you very much as well.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And he's a reporter for Plan Philly, which is housed here at WHYY. You can read his piece in Philadelphia Magazine. Dear Philadelphia Media, stop calling the mayoral race boring. And yes, we have Thomas Mann waiting in the wings talking about the idea of compulsory voting. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times. I'm Marty Moscoane. Voting in the United States is a right. In some countries, it's mandatory. Turns out that when you make people vote, you get a greater turnout, but at what cost? We asked Thomas Mann of the Brookings Institution to make a case for mandatory voting and to tell us how it works in other countries. He's a senior fellow of governance studies at Brookings, and he specializes in electoral politics and political campaigns. Thomas Mann, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Happy to be with you this morning.
Very well. And John Baer, I just say goodbye to him. He says hello to you, Thomas Mann.
Well, that's very nice of John.
We've been talking about the fact that certainly in Philadelphia, also in Pennsylvania, across the country, there has been declining voter turnout, depending on what race you're talking about. There was a mayoral primary 4 years ago in Philadelphia. Something like 20% of voters actually went to the poll to vote. So that's why we wanted to at least discuss or toss around the idea of obligatory voting or mandatory voting. Can you make a case for that?
Well, I will. But first, let me make clear that in countries that have adopted some form of compulsory, mandatory voting, it's really attendance at the polls. That is to say, it's not compelling people to vote for a candidate, but to fulfill their citizen responsibilities by showing up. Now, those same countries typically apply that to in effect, a national election held once every 3 or 4 or 5 years. The problem with the United States is that the election season never ends. We elect more officials per capita than any other country in the world, and we have elections going on every year for every level of government. We even elect judges in many states. Not only that, but we also have something that's very unusual in the rest of the world. We have primary elections, that is, since the progressive era in the early part of the last century, we've taken the responsibility for nominating the party candidates for the general election in indirect primaries, so double the number of elections that you have. Under those circumstances, it's a little unrealistic to expect voters, one, to become fully informed about the scores and scores of elections they're facing virtually every year and to participate at a high rate. So I'll come back to mandatory voting. I just wanted to put the United States in perspective. We are an unusual small d democracy in which partly because we expect so much of our citizens not to weigh in every 3 or 4 years on the direction and course of the country and public policy, but virtually every year and sometimes every few months on some national, state, or local election, in a general election or in a primary.
Well, and let me just follow up with one or two just quick questions here. But are you saying that if we had fewer elections, if we, for instance, got rid of primaries, and I'm not suggesting that we do, that we actually would have a bigger turnout?
Oh, there's no question about it. If the problem, one of the problems right now is that citizens who, after all, don't have voting in elections as their highest priority. They're trying to get and keep a job, to support their families, to be active in non-political community organizations and their religious affiliations. If the political demands on them were reduced, then the focus of the media, the coverage, the anticipation of an election would almost certainly bring more to the polls. In fact, if we just coordinated so that all of the elections that are held, and hopefully fewer, were held on the same day in the same year rather than off year elections. Mm-hmm. We get much higher turnouts. For example, in most parliamentary systems, you have an election every 3, 4, or more likely 5 years. We have a presidential election, then 2 years later a midterm election, and inevitably there's a huge fall off of about a 40% lower turnout. From, say, 60% turnout to 40%. And then if you move to local elections in the general election, you're lucky to get 30. If you start talking about primary elections, even presidential primary elections, it gets much lower. And then you get to lower levels of office. And for county commissioners or city councils, you can get down to 10%. And the primaries can be 5%. And they're all held at different times. So if we had fewer elections, if we pulled them all together, so we only faced getting the voters to the polls, a few times at most during an election cycle, you would see much higher levels of participation.
But do you also think that this low level of participation makes it harder for whoever wins to govern? Because no matter, even if they got 60% of the vote, if only 30% of people are voting, then most people would not have voted for that person.
Oh, it's true, but that doesn't necessarily make it harder to govern. It sort of introduces certain kind of biases into the way in which governing takes place. That is, it puts more emphasis on those who participate actively, to those who are financial donors, to those who are well organized and can make the case to that government after the election. When you get low turnout, you tend to get less representation of those who don't make the effort to get to the polls.
Let me just quickly reintroduce you, Thomas Mann, the fourth of four guests in this hour of Radio Times. He's a senior fellow of governance studies at the Brookings Institution, specializing in electoral politics and political campaigns. This is Ballot Talks on Radio Times, when we focus on things like elections and certainly political issues as well. And we're talking about the fact that in some countries there is mandatory voting or compulsory voting. And obviously in the United States, we don't do that, but it raises some interesting questions about voter participation. We want to know what you think about the idea of compulsory or mandatory voting. Give us a call at 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. I'm thinking, Thomas Mann, of I believe it's Australia, where they have, you know, pretty significant voter turnout. Is that a result of at least some degree of compulsory voting?
Absolutely. The Australians back in the first half of the 20th century had really quite low levels of turnout, what they considered low levels of 30 or 40% in their elections for the sort of for the federal officials, for the, in effect, for the prime minister and in Canberra, the capital, and they passed a law that set up mandatory attendance at the polls. Now, it wasn't a crime to not show up. There was a very modest penalty attached. You know, it's about $15 or $20 now. There's voters, citizens who can't make it to the polls can write a letter and explain why they haven't. So think of it more as a nudge rather than an ironclad responsibility, like paying your taxes. But what it did is it instilled in the whole society the idea that citizens have responsibilities as well as rights. And then you saw the government take responsibility for getting people registered and enrolled on the voting list. That's something that really is the responsibility of individuals in our country. Then you saw schools really beginning to develop, if you will, modules in which they introduced newly eligible voters into the whole democracy, the voting system, how you cast your ballot, what to expect at the polling place, and they talked about it, read newspapers, and that built up an expectation that they were actually going to turn out. And suddenly we saw turnout rates exceeding 90% in these national elections. Now, the ballot was simpler than here. This applied not 20 times a year, but once every 3 years. But what you do is you build an expectation that this is part of life, of responsibility. Some people in this country are deeply offended by, you know, I want to have the right not to vote for those rascals. Well, you can go and turn in an empty ballot. That'll show them, you know, in effect, none of the above, if that's how you feel. But we have a lot of free riding in this country. Everyone complains, but only few make the investment to actually show up. So the idea is a lot of countries have done this, but it's easier to do in countries where there are fewer elections than we have in this country. So if you were ever going to do something like this, one, you have to make it clear we're not criminalizing the act of non-voting, but just providing a clear expectation and a nudge, but at the same time, seeing if we can't have fewer elections, if we can't have more of them held on a single day so that you could have a real focus for the country on elections rather than try to get them up again and again and again every year of every long election cycle, then I think it has some promise.
Well, you know, Thomas, let me get some callers in. Looks like we have Steve from Philadelphia. Not sure he's buying what you're saying, but Steve, go ahead. You're on Ballot Talks on Radio Times.
Yes, I'm going to add a couple comments. I am 100% against forcing people to vote or compulsory voting. My thoughts are twofold. Number one, that if people don't take the time to educate themselves to the issues, to why they're voting, maybe we shouldn't have those people voting in the first place. Everybody has the right and privilege to vote, and if you choose not to use it, that means probably you're not really investing the time to make a wise decision. The second point is that to your speaker's comment about educating the voting,
right.
Voting population. When I went through junior high 35 plus years ago, we took civics. You learn how the government works. You learn the functions of the government. You learn about the election system, the cycle, the value of voting. My kids and my nieces and nephews, I don't think I've spoken to a child 25 or under that is required to take civics anymore. So if it's so important, why is that removed out of the school system?
Oh, fair enough. Like, Steve, you raise a couple of good points, and let me toss them to Thomas Mann. The first one being, you know, what do you do about the uninformed voter? I mean, if they're unengaged, chances are they're not interested enough to try to inform themselves. Do you really want to give them the right, give them the access to the ballot?
Cross a line there saying, oh, voting is only for the well-educated, well-informed people. Well, we have people with less than a high school education and struggling to stay above ground. You want to deny them?
I hear you.
I think we have to somehow get everyone represented. Mind you, it's true the framers of the U.S. Constitution actually set up a Republican representative form of government, and they weren't much thinking of mass voting participation. In fact, only males could vote, and in many areas it was just property owners who could vote. Throughout our history, we've set up obstacles to voting, like poll taxes and manipulating the rules to discourage the ability of some people to find their polling place. So, but over time, there's been a broad belief that voting is both a right and a responsibility. And I think I'd be real careful about saying voting is just for those who are well educated and well informed. Their voters can make judgments with simplifying devices like I'm for one party or the other, or things are going well or badly, and I'll vote according to that. And we shouldn't belittle that. The second thing is,
well, you know, I hate to do this only because we are out of time. We won't be able to get to the civics part of our Steve's question. But Thomas Mann, we do have to end on that note. I apologize for interrupting you, and thanks for joining us today in Radio Times.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Senior Fellow of Governance Studies at the Brookings Institution and the fourth of four guests in this Ballot Talks edition of Radio Times looking at this all-important issue of voting. Go to whyy.org/Radio Times and you can find out much more about this program, including how to download podcasts of the show, how to find us on Facebook and Twitter, and how to listen to us on satellite radio. I'm Marty Moscoane. Thanks for joining us in this first hour of the show. We'll be back with hour two. Stay with us.